Thank you, Sam. See if I can get my got that PowerPoint up. Good morning. Yeah, it's wonderful. Yesterday was cloudy and rainy and all that stuff. Today is nice and sunny and my cup of tea, as some people would say there. Of course, the hotter the better. You know, I went out, what was it? Friday. I was so excited. You know, it must have been close to 80, and I got out there, and I got my lawnmower ready, got the new blade put in there. I just said at 12, it was 12 o'clock, and I just, right at noon, I said, I got to mow. I went out there, and I mowed the front lawn. I'm so happy I did, because now all those yellow dandelions are happier even today. I mowed them all down, but they came back. Well, I didn't get them all, though. I would have had to go real low, so... It's a fight. It's a constant fight. In Ohio, we fought constantly over that because your neighbors had perfect lawn and you had one little yellow flower. People go, oh, like that. And it's worse in Canada, right? In Canada, they work until, because they have those long days, you know, go until 11 at night and their sun is still up and, you know, they're all out on their lawns. They're fighting with those little yellow flowers all the time. It's just a fight. Yes. Uh-oh. Bring him to my house. He'll be in his glory. I think I have a farm going on here of dandelions. I love it.
The bees love them.
The bees. Thank you. A's and B's and C's. Oh, the Lord bless you. It's wonderful to have spring and, you know, God's grace, you know, bringing life back, right? Bringing life back. And we have life and he brings new life into our lives and we get to read his word. And, you know, after his death and, you know, they're still trying to figure out that, you know, he rose again. They're still they're scratching their heads. They're just kind of confused and stuff like that, you know, but new life is coming. You know, he's representing that new life, a new start. You know, intervention specialists, there's special kinds. You got the Navy SEALs who go in there and they'll take care of the situation. You know, as I was taught in schools and stuff like that, they have intervention specialists, you know, kids who need a little extra help for one reason or another to help them get to their goals successfully. So they're always looking at getting to goals successfully. This is what it's about. Right in our lives, and you know, when I was working with kids in the schools and stuff like that, you know, we would have goals for them, and we try to get them to that, you know, to those goals, so they can feel successful and achieve and continue to grow stronger, and you know, what other skill area, whatever they're needing, there in that. So intervention specialists are wonderful, actually, wonderful people, and we're needed. And truthfully, we have the greatest intervention specialists. I think of how Jesus, you know, on this road to Emmaus, looks like this person that just kind of intervenes on the road to Emmaus. And we're going to be taking a closer look at that together today. Before we even get into this disappointment, we have to kind of go over a little bit of context. If you kind of look around this, what's happening to women, you know, Jesus was crucified on the cross, he died, they put him in a tomb, and the next morning, the women, not the next morning, I think the morning after that, the women were out there to embalm his body, right? They're doing something really good, they thought, so they went to the tomb, but they saw it was stone was rolled away, and they met these two angels, say, what are you doing here? What are you looking for the living among the dead? You know, he is risen. And they're going, what? You know, and then they ran back. They told the 11 disciples who were hiding out and stuff like that. And they were kind of looking at them going, what? You know, like nonsense. It was nonsense to them. But then Peter finally said, I got to check this out. So he runs to the tomb, you know, and he goes in there and looks around. And just nobody, just linen there. And he walks away kind of wondering, scratching his head, going, man, what's going on here? You know, so these things are happening, and they're just kind of going, well, you know, what is this? So they're confused and all that. And then even worse than that, these disciples were holding out. They were hiding. They were in fear of what was going to happen to them. You know, they had the doors locked, probably. They were being very quiet. And they're also probably pretty disappointed, as we see in these on the road to Emmaus. We're going to meet a couple of guys, maybe not the main 12 disciples, but they were in that discipleship group. And they're going to be walking to a road to a city called Emmaus, and they're disappointed about what happened. And so that, you know, they're looking for their Messiah, and they were following him, and now he's dead. And now they're hearing these reports that he's not even in the tomb. So they're really confused. So there are a lot of things going on. And also these disciples and these people, they're gathered together really not just disappointed, but they're really shamed. They're dealing with a lot of shame in their lives because they abandoned Christ. They denied Christ. So it's really, if anybody's in need of an intervention specialist, these guys need an intervention specialist to help them reach that successful goal that they were going for at the beginning. Let's pray before we continue on. Lord God, thank you for your word, the hope that we have in your word, the truth that guides us and teaches us, speaks to our hearts and transforms our lives. Lord, Father, we thank you for this time that we can be in your word together, Lord, we just ask that your name be glorified, that you'll speak through me, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will move and just teach us things anew and teach us, remind us things of old and do new things in our lives through this all. So we give you the praise and glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Jesus is, as we see here in the beginning of this story, these two guys are walking to a village 7 miles away from Jerusalem, and they're talking about all these things that are happening. And then, you know what? Praise the Lord. Here comes the intervention specialist. He just comes right alongside them. Right alongside these guys. And he says, you know, and as we're doing that, it's, you know, he asked them, you know, what are you guys talking about? What are you discussing? What's up? Why? Yeah. And then they turn with kind of like frowny faces, you know, you know how that looks. What is that thing that they said for the casting crowns thing about if you're happy and your face shows it or something like that? What was it? What? If you're happy and you know it, tell your face. Well, I guarantee you, these guys weren't happy and they know it. They were kind of dejected, disappointed, everything else coming at them. They were long face. They kind of look like some of those horses I've seen on movies and stuff. Long faces, downcast souls. And so Jesus is coming in there to intervene because he wants them to be successful. These are his chosen, right? These are the people that are walking with him, and he's going to be moving forward in another dispensation to the church. See, he's handing off the torch to them, saying, I'm going to be with you, but you guys are carrying this on now. You're going to be Christ. You're going to be my image. You're going to be my representatives here on earth. Just like I was a representative of the Father's. Perfect representation. So he's given off. And he's going to walk in with them in their disappointment. He's going to walk with them, and as we see in their lack of understanding, he's going to walk with them even in their spiritual blindness. That's an intervention specialist. Because he's going to move them back on the right path so they can get back to that goal and achieve it, complete it, accomplish it in his power. So we start off with disappointment. A lot of people go, what is it? Well, there's a definition. Read it up there. You know, it's a natural, emotional, human response when things aren't working out well. You know, it didn't come out as well. You know, and discouragement is just plays off of that. It's the inability to rise above those disappointments, and you just finally give up. Right? I mean, I don't know how many people I've met, listened to missionary stories or even about churches, and people just, for whatever reason is going on, disappointment after disappointment started happening. You know, they had these goals, these man-made goals, and they weren't reaching them, and things were getting worse, and they were getting discouraged and discouraged, and all of a sudden, boom, they're closing their doors. Or leaving their ministries and going somewhere else because it's just got too tough. And mainly because they're relying upon what? Themselves. They had their own goals. You know, we can set up the wonderful goals. I know I have. But it doesn't mean you're going to get to them because they're still my goals. And this world has its things going on and sometimes things just don't happen the way we expect. So discouragement comes, disappointment comes, going, ugh. But it just keeps on coming and coming and coming. And then you finally get to that discouragement level. And then when you get discouragement level, then you're starting to go, I'm done. A lot of hopelessness out there. There's a lot of suicide out there because of this hopelessness that we see that people have. Even at these young kids are choosing the quit their lives because of the hopelessness. Because they don't know there's more hope than they can ever even understand just walking right beside them. And that's a travesty. It's a very harsh thing to think about, but in our downcastness, we do have Jesus there. See, those people aren't the only ones that felt downcast. These guys walking on the road or all these other people even that we know today. Way back, David, King David is writing this. He's saying, hey, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Hope, remember, hope is a lot like faith. It's believing in something. Sometimes you might not even be able to see. But it's real, it's powerful. And then Joshua, remember Joshua? Part of the Israelites leaving Egypt. He was Moses' right-hand man. Well, Moses died. Disappointment there. Where's our leader? We're still on this other side of the river. We got to get into the promised land. And now he was chosen. Just think about how he felt. I got to take this motley, rebellious, stiff-necked people across this river into this promised land where there's people greater and stronger than me, them. I'm out of here. I don't know about you. I'm calling my mommy. And I'm going back to Egypt. Problem is, my mommy's there with the other group, right? Yeah, discouragement, disappointment that Moses couldn't take it across. Now I got this heavy load on me. And then these words from God to Joshua. So have I not commanded you? Because he said this before to him, right? Because he knows what's going on in Joshua's heart. Normal. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. All right? Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There's Jesus walking right alongside those two on the road to Emmaus. He's walking right alongside Joshua across the river of Jordan into the promised land and up against these nations that you're going to have to clear out. Wow. I don't know about you. It's amazing. But when he's walking with us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He is our hope. That's Joshua's hope. The intervention specialist comes in, right? He gives us hope to overcome our, what? Disappointment. So when you are disappointed, don't forget, Jesus is right there. He's walking with you on that road. Yeah, and start thinking about those, why are you disappointed? It's because you're setting your own goals and without God's involvement. And, you know, it's normal. And it's, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't set our own goals, you know, in this world and, you know, try to get ahead of times or fitness goals or whatever it is that we're looking at. But be prepared that we might not always reach those, right? But we also have something even more important. That's called the heart here. We got to take care of those goals too. And that's where you got to trust in the Lord and bring that to the Lord and set them up with him, guiding us. And there's times when we're going to fail, but he's always walking beside us. He's always walking beside us to encourage us, because these guys had all these things. Remember, you know, if you look down the line here, they're going to Nazareth and going to Emmaus, and they said, but we, in verse 20 says, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. See, that was one of their big goals. That's what their Messiah is going to do. We're going to get set free from these oppressors. Burn, he's dead. End, we're done. You see where they're at? Jesus comes beside them. And he says this, how foolish you are, there in verse 25. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. See, he's offering, you know, kind of a gentle rebuke there, right? And a little bit of hope in that, because now we're going to be turning to the Lord's word and the power of it. Because I don't know about you, one thing that causes us to feel disappointed a lot is because we just don't understand. We lack understanding. 2 + 2 = 5, right? For a lot of us still, in spiritual matters, yes. Back then, in first century Jews, they knew what their Messiah, this is what they were taught. Their Messiah was going to come and whoop the enemy, set up a new kingdom for them, and they were going to reign with a sovereign Israel nation with this great king. That was the first century Jews' expectation. Pretty good. They just kind of had it messed up in timing. See, all that got messed up because their teachers were messed up. Their teachers were teaching what they wanted to teach. They pull out a little bit of this, a little bit of that. This is good. Oh, we can't talk about suffering servant. We don't need that. But we will talk about this guy coming in on a horse, taking care of all our enemies. See, that's what they did. Their focus was on that. The teaching was inaccurate. It was false. It was man's teaching. They were taking it out of Scripture, just reading the words, and they started to interpret it in their own ways that would give them advantage. Right? Then I don't know if they did. They ever open their hearts and pray, God, can you reveal your word to me? Reveal what you're teaching me, because it's a lot of times when you read the word. I don't know about you. When I read my Bible, I can read these words. They're kind of fun words, but man, I get lost in them. I don't know about you. I get lost in them, and I've been following Christ since I was 29 years old now. So that's 31 years reading my Bible. I read it 31 times plus, all through from Genesis to Revelation. And I tell you, there's times that I'm just sitting there going, huh? And I'm scratching my head until I listen to Sam or Randy or Joy or some other people, you know, around me, or people in my life early, you know, other times, you know, around in Thailand, or people I met, followers of Christ, who, where God has spoken to them and taught me. Open my heart more. But they're not doing this. See, these guys have another thing. So these guys, I feel sorry for them because they're set up for a big disappointment happening because it is lack of understanding. 2 + 2 doesn't equal 5. To the Pharisees, to the teachers of the law, to the religious leaders, yes, it does, because this is what they want. And we see that even today in our own society. If you go to a lot of different churches around, they teach this and that. They'll pull this. They might use the Bible. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just give you a great, encouraging speech or a training seminar in church. Or I call it a club. Not really a church, because a church comes to worship Christ, to be in his presence together as a family, to honor him, to hear his word, to sit at his feet and to hear his word. And they're not hearing it. So the lack of understanding is there. And it's hard to get through. You know, if you want a great story, talk with Lisa after the service about the blind leading the blind, because she had a wonderful experience with that just recently. You know, the blind leading the blind. That's what was happening. Very little light. And then we'd look, well, what? Well, Jesus started to teach them. He says, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? So, and beginning with Moses, and this is verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Why? Because of this. All scriptures God breathed. It's not man. All scriptures God breathed, and it's useful for what? Teaching, what else? Rebuking, what else? Correcting. Right? That's what he's doing, isn't he? Training, right? And righteousness, so that the servant God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, that's the goal, right? To thoroughly equip us so we can, you know, perform these good works to bring honor to the Lord, to advance his kingdom. And we need power. We need this word that's God-breathed, that's teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us in all righteousness. We need that. If we don't have that, we're the blind leading the blind. We're lacking understanding. We're bumping up against disappointment after disappointment. I'm going home. I'm not going to church today. I'm done. Done. Because it's just not what I like. It's just not doing anything for me. I hope that's not right. See, back in 24:6-7, when the women were talking to the angels, I think I wrote that right. And he says, the angels told the women, he says, he is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Remember? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Burp, burp, burp. Now what happened there? 8. Then they remembered his words. Intervention specialist coming in. Sent his angels, they intervened for the women. They gave them power to understand, right? Intervention specialist, Jesus walking with these two guys to Emmaus and with us on our road to Emmaus reveals the truth when we lack understanding, right? All that power because that's his word. And then we have this spiritual blindness that we have. Can you see it? I mean, these, is there, you know, right then when they were walking on that road to Emmaus, these two guys said there in verse 16, says, but they were kept from recognizing him. Well, I think they were just spiritually blind. Their hearts weren't opened yet. You know, they might have walked with Jesus for many years and heard his teaching and all that stuff, but they're still, we're talking about the veil. You know, the veil was still in front of them. They were going by works or going by whatever. You know, the heart hasn't, the spiritual life, their lives have not been opened, have not been breathed into them yet. So they're walking in spiritual blindness. You know, Charlie Brown's always hoping for something. How many times was he disappointed, right? Where's the great pumpkin, right? Or, you know, what is Christmas all about? You know, all these things. You know, where's Snoopy? He's fighting a Red Baron somewhere, right? So it's just all these type of disappointments, you know, in our lives. It's amazing how we keep going sometimes. Why did these disappointments come up? Well, one thing, if you ever looked at Romans chapter 1, verses 18, this is part of it, and it just says, you know, we suppress the truth. Our sinful nature just naturally suppresses the truth, because when we meet the truth, it's harsh. It's not what we want. I want it my way, not your way. See, but God keeps saying, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the life. So it's hard for them, you know, we suppress it by our wickedness, by our unbelief, by our pride, our selfishness. That's that wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. Why? Because you look around something, you look around here, you got God written all over the place in this world. Even when you look in a mirror. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen through Jesus, his word, his creation, us, his people. You know, seen, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. A lot of people ask me, well, how those nomads way out in the desert of India know Jesus? Well, if they open up their eyes and see creation all around them, they know someone's there that created it. And they can open their hearts just like we can and receive that grace, salvation. You know, God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And another thing that happens, praise the Lord, that his word is so powerful. It's a, you know, it's an eye-opening word. Here, there in verse 30, it says, when he was walking with these two, right? And he looked like he was going on. They said, no, it's getting late. Come, stay with us. Let's eat together. Well, there you go, the first communion since he rose. First communion. Sitting with these two, walking to Emmaus, right? In their house. And it says this, with them there in verse 30, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then what? Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him. It wasn't getting the math out and going do-do-do-do. It wasn't getting, you know, all these philosophies. It wasn't doing, you know, all these push-ups and stuff of that we would try to do to maintain our bodies or whatever. Oh, get all the politicians together and get a good governmental system together, write up a constitution, all that stuff. No. This is God moved, spirit-led, eye-opening power. Without it, you can never be spiritually alive. You can walk. Your body can be alive, but you're just like what Ezekiel is talking about there in chapter 37. You're dry bones without it. It takes the power of God to get you back to life again. And that's word. It says, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. If you haven't been touched by that, you need it. Become spiritually alive. You need your eyes open, just like these guys here. Just like these guys. In an ordinary act of breaking the bread, he revealed himself, the risen King, to them. Ordinary act of walking outside and smelling the flowers. Ordinary act of looking at your face as you're brushing your teeth. Ordinary act opening the Word of God and reading and coming before God with a soft heart, asking for him to reveal himself in his word to you. Ordinary acts, eye-opening events. And then they said there in verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Have you ever been there? Talking about the word of the Lord with somebody and think you just, oh, there's just like a fire within you. Just going, ooh, this is so good. I don't want it to stop. Something's going on. Well, it's the work of the Spirit of God. See, the intervention specialist comes besides us. Comes right between us if we're walking with somebody else. And he opens our eyes to recognize the risen King. See, he's coming back. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's why every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It will be done. He's going to straighten everything out. Everything's going to come back the way he desires it to be. Everything will be made new. That's the risen King coming back. Wonderful. So, when we're walking on the road of disappointment, and I'm sure you will, because I know I do, discouragement starts to knock at your heart a little bit, and you're just going, I guess I'm not going to talk with that guy anymore. I'm not going to pray for him. He's not going to get better. He doesn't want to hear any more about the Lord. And things just aren't working out. When you get into that point, remember, you're on the road to Emmaus. And that there's somebody that's coming right beside you. That intervention specialist that will lead you into completing the purpose he has for you. Each person. See, an IEP, you know, the individual individualized education program. That's what they use, the intervention specialist for these kids, for these students. I needed it. I kind of got it a little bit, I think. I think I still need it. But this intervention, you know, they had to, every individual is different. Each one of us is different. He meets us in a different way. That's how powerful he knows us. So then he says, well, when you're downcast, what do? But I open him. Put my faith in him. Believe in him and his word is going to come true. Get into his word, right? And when you get in a certain, when you're lacking that, understand things are just kind of going, what? I don't know. And that might be so. And it's still, nobody's ever going to know it until we come see him face to face. When lacking understanding, call upon him what? To reveal himself, reveal the truth. He is, the truth is a person, the person of Christ. And when you're blinded, you're spiritually blinded, for some reason things have just gotten so hard on you, the disappointment, discouragement settling, you just can't see, the veil starts coming over your eyes, you can't see Christ anymore because you are just so much in this world, so worried about you and yourself and your own kingdom. that you become spiritually blind to Jesus walking beside you. Well, do this. Ask him to open your eyes. Look around you and see the creation of his awesome power. Smell the flowers. Enjoy the people around you. He opens our eyes to the risen King. Need an intervention specialist? Are your hearts burning? If you're not, seek him. Open your hearts. If you already know him, he's walking beside you, well, allow him to minister to you as you walk on your road to Emmaus. Let's pray. Father, your victory is powerful and wonderful in the name of Jesus Christ. You have given us victory. You've given us hope. You've given us life. And now we're looking forward to this everlasting life with you when you come back. Lord, when we are walking on this road, help us to remember that you don't ever leave us or forsake us. You're always with us wherever we go. So help us just to talk with you and get real with you. Confess to you things that we're holding back, sins that we're holding on to. Asking for forgiveness and receiving it in Christ. And going forward in courage, not in our own strength, but yours with us. You're right with us. And that courage, that strength, that grace to stand firm in the faith and to do all things in love. May we do this, Lord, and the people around us will see this transformational work that's going on in your life, in our lives. Father, may we be faithful. May we be open to your move and your power in our lives, and that you'll continue to open our eyes to these wonders of who you are, so we can draw near to you, and so we can be a blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. And all those people say, amen.